Welcome to Multifamily Real Estate Investing, presented by Mara Poling. My name is Pat Poling. I'm the founder and CEO of Mara Poling, and I'm happy to be with you this week to discuss a topic that we don't touch on, but is a wonderful strategy to use when dealing with lazy equity, and that is the cash out refinance. Specifically looking at cash out refinancing as an alternative to a 1031. So first we'll talk about what each of those are. So we're starting from a common standpoint, a little bit about why a 1031 would make sense, and then we'll dive into the cash out refi and talk about the specific benefits of a cash out refi. In particular, how it can protect you from something that I refer to as 1031 jail or 1031 prison. And that's what we're going to talk about this week. If you have any questions, shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com, marapoling.com. We still have seats available for the webinar series that we kicked off recently. Our next session is coming up very soon, and that's on retirement account investing. So if you have any interest in that or interest in any of the other educational content we have, simply go to the Learning Center at marapoling.com, and you can then navigate to the webinar page in order to register. You can look at the Multifamily Real Estate Channel for copies of past sessions. And of course, you can connect to this podcast as well. All right, so with that, let's dive in. So a cash out refinance, what do we mean by that? So a refinance is we are going to replace the existing loan that we have on a property. Let's say that we have a property that we bought for $10 million and we took out a $7 million loan when we did that. We're going to replace that $7 million loan. Now, we could replace it with another $7 million loan, and the logic behind that might be that the interest rate environment has changed, and we can improve our performance over time by refinancing. Now, there may be costs associated with exiting the original loan. There's obviously costs associated with putting a new loan in place, and it's not always that straightforward as interest rates went from 6% to 5%, and it makes sense to refinance. You've got to do the math on each of those. A cash out refinance is that asset that was worth $10 million when we purchased it has grown in value to 11, 12, 13, 14 million, some number higher. And as it has done that, our indebtedness has stayed at 7 million, maybe even come down a little if we've been making principal payments in addition to interest. So the equity we have in the property has grown from $3 million, right? 10 million minus the 7. Now, there's some other expenses we had. We probably put some capital in. So our equity number, the asset probably actually has to grow to 11 or 12 million before we're kind of in the money. But if it's grown to 13 or 14 million or more, there's some equity in there that isn't doing anything. Were we to buy the property today at $14 million, we would put a larger loan on it, a loan closer to maybe 10 or even $11 million. And so we've got equity inside the asset that isn't doing anything. And one of the objectives we have for the portfolios that we manage is we want to maintain the security and stability of the assets and the portfolio, and we want to optimize cash returns and equity growth. So having lazy equity sitting around may not be doing us much good. Lazy equity, we would define as when the total equity on the asset, or more appropriately, the total leverage, gets down to maybe 50% or even into the 40s. So again, if this was a $14 million property and we had leverage at $7 million, We're probably in a place where there's a few million dollars of lazy equity that's not doing anything for us. So one of the ways we can address that is to do a cash out refinance. We put a larger loan on, we pay the original 7 million off, and we take that extra cash and do a number of things with it. We might invest it back in that asset to have even additional growth. We could distribute some of it to the investors that are in that asset. We also might take that money and go buy another asset. And so now we'd own two properties for one initial investment. Now, another way to do that is with a 1031 exchange. And that's the typical method that we design our program around. But we do use cash out refinance from time to time. A 1031 has some additional benefits. One, we aren't spending money buying a new loan. Now, we will have a new property and there'll be a new loan on it. But we're not doing that on this property, which eventually you'd have to pay that loan off as well. A 1031 allows us to get all of that lazy equity out. So when I am putting a new loan on, doing a cash out refinance, I can't borrow out 100% of the lazy equity. Some percentage stays, right? Because there's a loan to value ratio that the lender is going to utilize for this. But a 1031, I can get all that lazy equity out. So I have more money to play with. And because of the ways we manage 1031s, we're going to buy a larger property, larger economically, quite possibly larger physically as well. And so there's a number of benefits that we get there, including the fact that we get some additional depreciation because we buy a larger property. We're going to have some extra asset value that we can write off. All right, so that's the 1031. We want to talk about cash out refinances. Have we done them? Yes, we have. Is it the preferred method for us? No, we would prefer a 1031. And there are reasons why you might not do a 1031 and you would do a cash out refinance. One of them is if the market conditions are such that selling the asset, exiting the first step of a 1031, simply wouldn't garner the proceeds that you think the asset's worth. And we have had those instances where market conditions at the time were simply in a position that we didn't think made a lot of sense to exit. And it made more sense when we did the math to hold the asset and put new debt on it and free the equity up, that lazy equity, free it up by using a cash out refinance. So one of the benefits of doing a cash out refinance is it's a known asset, right? We're not selling and then going out and buying another property. And our due diligence, we are very confident with. We work very hard to make sure that we vet assets before we purchase them. And it is absolutely impossible to know everything about an asset when you are purchasing it as compared to when you've owned it for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years or 7 years for some extended period of time. So a cash out refinance is pretty attractive when you consider that I have less risk with surprises going into the future with a known asset than I do with a brand new asset. Another benefit is timing. And I mean, two things by that. One, I can execute a cash out refinance more or less whenever I want. Now, I might pay attention to interest rates and what the recent performance of the asset is and some other factors that might say it makes more sense to do it now or to wait 6 months or something. But I don't have any restrictions on when I would go about doing this. That gives me a great deal of control. I might delay, again, anticipating maybe a favorable move in interest rates. I might work to accelerate it because I have some other opportunity that that cash can be invested in that would generate a very solid return. But we control that. And the other timing benefit is we don't have the timing hurdles that a 1031 has. So when we execute a 1031 and we sell an asset, there are a number of requirements. One of them is within 45 days of the close of that sale, we have to identify the property we're going to buy, the replacement property. And we're actually allowed to identify a few properties, and it just needs to be one of those. Well, if you get to the point where you're at day 40 or 41 or 42 and you have not found a property that works yet, you're in jeopardy of not completing your 1031 and having tax exposure on that gain. So there's some risk associated with that. The way we address that is in almost every instance that we've executed a 1031, we have already identified, begun the due diligence process, in almost every instance, had the property under contract when we closed on the sale of the asset. And then around day 42 or 43, we in fact did go in and identify the property and a couple others. We don't have that hurdle if we're doing a cash out refinance. Again, it's much more simple. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that there's a potential tax risk if you do a 1031 and it fails. You have to pay tax on the gain. Well, there is no tax on a cash out refinance. Borrowing those dollars out does not, in and of itself, create a taxable event. Now, everyone needs to talk to their CPAs because it can have a change in basis. It could have a longer term, larger impact. But the actual fact of drawing those dollars out is not a taxable event in and of itself. Again, remember, we're not taking all of the gain out. We're only taking a portion of it because we've got a loan to value element as part of the cash out refinance. But if we were to sell, and I'm just making numbers up, if we were to sell and we had a $5 million gain, if we failed to get the 1031 complete, we'd have tax due on $5 million plus whatever recapture was associated with depreciation. If we did a cash out refinance, maybe I only take $3 million out, but I don't pay tax on the $3 million. There's really no risk associated with that. And I'm not triggering any event that would cause for recapture of depreciation to occur. So the timing benefit is one more reason why it might make sense to do a cash out refinance. A third reason to do it is the cash flow that the property was generating, right? So our $10 million property that's grown in value to 13 or 14 had a $7 million loan on it. It was generating cash above and beyond the payment of that note and any other fees or expenses it had with it. Now we're going to have a larger loan. There's going to be less cash that that property is going to generate. So we're going to have, if you will, a negative impact to our cash flow. But think about that for a minute. What are we going to do with the $3 million that we borrowed out? As I said, we could distribute it back to investors. That really doesn't have an impact on monthly cash flows. It's a one-time cash event for investors. So that's very nice. So that's a positive. We could reinvest it in that actual property. Maybe we've identified some value add improvements that were not in the original plan that the market has demonstrated are valuable, and we could put money back into the property, maybe $1 million, and do additional improvements. Those additional improvements grow NOI, that grows cash. It grows cash in a manner in which it covers that incremental debt expense. And because of the larger NOI, it grows the value of that asset for the exit. We also could take those dollars and buy another property and have a second property. Now, if you think about that for a moment, if we took $3 million and we put it into a new asset, the money that it's generating, if it's generating, say, an 8% average return over a period of time, that would be on $3 million. $240,000 a year. But we didn't really put the $3 million in because the $3 million came out of out of gain. It's not money anybody wrote a check for. You as an investor, me as an investor, we didn't write the check for that 3 million. So the real way to look at that would be that $240,000 in cash is really attributable back to the original asset. And that's going to be more than the debt service that we have taken on for that property. So I'm making some extra cash by having that lazy equity freed up. And I've now got a second asset that's going to grow in value and ultimately give me similar opportunities to defer tax exposure and so on. A cash-out refinance is a great tool to use to access lazy equity. It is every bit as valuable as a 1031. We think the additional elements of the 1031 tip the scales towards using that. And I would never argue with anyone that says, I bought some properties and I've used cash out refinances several times to free up lazy equity. That's a marvelous strategy. There is a long-term potential risk associated with 1031s. So if you build a long-term 1031 chain, that is the final reason I would suggest that as an investor, you look at a cash-out refinance, and we certainly do that. So let's talk about a 1031 chain. Someone buys a property. We buy a property for $10 million. We sell it for $15 million. We roll over into a $16 million property. We sell that for $21 million. And we go on and on doing this. And eventually, we carry this out for a number of decades. And we get to a point where we own a $60 million property. That's how much it's worth if we sell it. And we have depreciated along the way, so our basis is very low. We've deferred the tax on all that gain. So there's a very significant tax exposure hidden inside that $60 million asset. If we were to sell that $60 million property and then execute a 1031 and fail to close the 1031. So we don't find a satisfactory property to purchase within the time frames that are needed, and we fail to get the 1031 done. And by the way, if you are managing your own portfolio and you're considering 1031s, you absolutely have to game this scenario out because it's a real-life scenario. And if it happens, that is not the time to try and say, well, what am I going to do? You need to have a plan in advance. So if we get to a point where the 1031 fails, I'm now looking at tens of millions of gain and recapture that I am exposed to. So yeah, I'm going to sell and get a really big check, but I'm also going to send a whole bunch of that money to Uncle Sam. So I don't do that. At a certain point in time, I simply say, you know what? I can't keep doing 1031s because the size is getting larger and larger. The risk of not being able to find an appropriate property is going up. So at some point in time, and it's different for every investor, at some point in time, the right answer will be, we're not going to sell this property. We're going to keep this $60 million property. We're going to operate it. We're going to operate it well. It will continue to grow, not at the significant pace maybe that it would if we did do a 1031, but it will continue to grow and it will generate cash. But we will do a cash out refinance and take cash out of that property that we can then invest in either that asset or other assets, or again, distribute to investors, and that we can access that lazy equity. And if we do buy another property, well, that other property can be the beginning of a brand new 1031 chain. The decision on making a 1031 versus a cash out refinance is unique to each and every property and each and every investor and every scenario that you could possibly think of. when we look at exiting an asset or accessing the lazy equity, we will look at all of these different scenarios and, to the best of our ability, assign some degree of probability or risk to them so that we can see some kind of risk-adjusted return for each of the different profiles. And then, based on that, select the one that first and foremost maintains the security and stability of the investments and then looks to optimize returns. That's our basic strategy. Now, none of the Mara Poling portfolio assets have gotten to that point yet where we're coming up on 1031 jail, and we've got to make that decision. Hey, we're just going to have to hold this long term. Our funds are structured to run anywhere from 10 to 30 years, depending upon which fund you're looking at. There's flexibility in many of those to be able to exit earlier than those timeframes. And those timeframes probably protect us from getting into that scenario. But if you've got properties that you've owned for a period of time, you may be getting to a point where you're losing confidence in the ability to execute a 1031 and hit all those marks, and there's too much risk associated with exiting that asset and potentially being exposed to taxes. That might be a scenario where you would then want to look at a cash out refinance, and then you could take that cash, and many of our investors have done this, where you're an active investor, you could take that cash and then potentially invest it passively with us or a firm like us. And that provides some diversification. A significant number of our investors in all of our different funds own properties they actively manage themselves and then have these passive investments as a way of diversifying and improving the stability and performance of their portfolio over time. When you get to a point that you think you have enough lazy equity that you need to do something, and that's a unique position for everyone, right? I said it's low 50s, high 40%. You might, for assets you own, say, I wouldn't do that until I was at 25%. You also could look the other way and say, I want to keep all the equity working as fast as I can. And you're looking to get high leverage loans to start with. And as soon as they drop and there's a scenario to refinance, you're looking to do that and take more cash out. All of those could be viable for anyone in a scenario. That's a decision to make on your own. Cash out refinance is a legitimate strategy. You simply haven't heard us talk a lot about it because we don't use it that often. In all of the portfolios that we manage today, we have one asset that we've done a cash out refinance on, and those funds were then invested in the purchase of another asset. And so there are now two assets in the portfolio for what that original investment was in that original property. That original property is still doing great. We're very excited to have it, and we will own it for a number of years into the future. And we're very happy with the property that we purchased. So we think that has worked out quite well for us and for our investors. If you have any questions about 1031s or cash out refinances, if you've got a portfolio of your own and you just want to chat a little bit about some of these strategies, I am absolutely happy to hop on a phone call. You can shoot me an email, pat@marapoling.com. You can also go, and I believe there's a link on the website where you can access my calendar. If not, if you have received emails from me in the past about updates on various properties and such, there's a link to my calendar just below my signature. So several ways that you can set up some time for us to chat. I would be more than happy to do that. Thanks for joining me this week, and I look forward to talking to you again next week on another episode of Multifamily Real Estate Investing presented by Mara Poling.